Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget you can always take us with you when you're on the move by downloading the Guardian Radio app from the App Store or Play Store, or if you're just old school like I am and really hate that mobile device, then you can just go to your desktop computer, like us old people, and go to www.guardiantalkradio.com and click the live stream button, and you can hear the show there. So tonight we're continuing to meet. Last week we met some artists from the National Exhibition. We're continuing with more artists. The show supports, I think, over 35, I think 35 or 38 Bahamian artists, either Bahamian and living away or people living and working here. And today we have more women in the studio. Last week was super power woman heavy, and we got more with us. And that's Melissa Alcina. Welcome back to Blank Canvas.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. April Bay.
Hello.
Hello. And Tiffany Smith.
Hello, hello.
Hey. So we're going to start off with April because she volunteered. The show is called The Fruit and the Seed. And when the call went out, it asked artists to speak about issues they're addressing in their work, but particularly social issues, bringing empathy to the world. How did you respond to that call, April?
I wanted to take a look at colonialism and just how it's evolved. So I do a lot of research. A lot of my research is based in West Africa, and in particular, Ghana is of great interest to me because it's very similar to the Bahamas, mm-hmm. in that we were both colonized by the British and are now currently being somewhat colonized by the Chinese. Mm-hmm. In very similar ways. And so I wanted, in my work, it's a lot about materiality and process. So I have, my work is rule-based. So I only use materials that are purchased in West Africa from women, but also that are made in China. So the thread, needles, even the knockoff fabric is made in China. And that's kind of what I wanted to address in the works in the show, but also to show imagery that compare and contrast the two types of colonialism and the figures, the key figures, mm-hmm. in the different movements.
Mm-hmm. So you have these two really beautiful canvases. I mean, they're so hard to describe, but they're very rich. They're embroidered with strips of this. It looks like traditional African fabric, but mm-hmm. in fact, it's a Chinese, it's pretend African fabric made in China.
Yes.
And then there are these various powerful images, one of the Venus of Willendorf, which is a classic, an ancient figure that was, I think, one of the first art, is it the oldest artwork,
yes,
known to man?
Yes, it's before language. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Of a large, beautiful woman, sort of a fertility figure. And then the pendant to that is Queen Elizabeth, mm-hmm. looking young and fresh. And she's kind of behind bars, which I thought was sort of interesting too. So it's kind of like there's a lot going on, and the pearls and everything. Can you talk a little bit about the pearls? And
yeah, so for that scroll, keeping with the rules that everything has to be knockoff Chinese, mm-hmm. they're knockoff Chinese pearls, mm-hmm. And she's behind bars because I'm kind of obsessed with her story in that I was also really afraid of her when I was a kid growing mm-hmm. up. Just, you know, growing up here, we were always told in school that she's the embodiment of God. And so whenever I did something wrong, I would picture her as, like, floating in
wow.
the sky,
like,
saying,
like
no,
mean Mary Poppins,
don't
right?
steal that cookie. But then, like, when I started reading about her story as I went to college, I was like, well, she didn't really want to be queen at the time. Mm-hmm. And comparing her with the Asante queen who helped defeat the British, neither of them really wanted to take the role that they were given, but they were forced to in order to progress. And she played a very passive role. I mean, she was also instrumental in Ghana gaining independence with mm-hmm. The very taboo dancing with the first president.
Yeah.
But it was the bars seem to, they're also glamorized with mm-hmm. glitter, mm-hmm. Which is the image that I use is from the day that she was crowned, which it just seemed like they were just piling stuff onto her, like, oh, look, pose for this, do this. Mm-hmm. And the whole time she's thinking, what is this I'm doing? What is my name? What is my role? What am I mm-hmm. supposed to do? No one in the family wanted to step up. So that's kind of why she's adorned the way she is. They kind of act like scrolls and deities mm-hmm. in my work.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, too, because I think when I think about it, it's like we're all trapped in that colonial system, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought that was, you know, the Venus of Willendorf. So the, you know, obviously, like, people of African descent more so, but it's like the system that's been created is somehow, and it's like I tell my husband all the time, I'm like, honey, the patriarchy did a job on you too. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's not if I'm saying, absolutely, like, oh, men are all, you know, I don't mean you.
Exactly.
And I thought so that there's kind of like that added layer, like your work's got a lot of literally and figuratively a lot of layers. And how is it, I know you, so you live and work in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. How is the relationship to the Bahamas? Is it you know, do you ever want to come back? Do you come back and visit and you're just like, oh my God, I'm so glad I'm not here? Do you feel like you're having that perspective helps you in your work in a way? Or, I mean, LA's got its own issues too.
Yeah, I have issues when I'm in LA because there's just some culture that's just inbred that you can never get rid of. Like, the etiquette and respect and greeting culture, they find a lot of, at least my colleagues think it's weird that I always say good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Even in emails all the time, they're just like, what's going on? Is she mad? What's this happening? Like, you know, they're not
used
to that.
Is she mad? Why would you be mad? It's very, good morning.
They see it as very professional, and we see it as something that just happens before you can talk.
Yeah.
And, I have a point of saturation when I come home.
Yeah.
And it's usually when I get outside of the art bubble. I didn't have the art bubble when I grew up here. So I'm very fortunate to have that now. But when I get outside of that bubble, that's when I start to get worn down. Like when I hear like bus drivers saying, you like money and like stuff like that. It's like I went to school and I'm in a culture now where you can be yourself. Mm-hmm. And so it's just very... That tends to be oppressive. The whole, like, women not having equal rights to men thing goes against my moral... But I also see that there's a lot of change and progress and potential. So I'm hopeful and optimistic. But, yeah, like, that's... My family now is like, well, you have to... We have property in Luther you have to deal with, and you're the eldest, and we have all these things to do. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to come back yet because... You know, I was able to go to school. I was able to get scholarships. I work for the government in the U.S. now. So there's a lot of things that have to change. But before I was very cynical. But now I'm starting to see, okay, well, as more millennials are getting elected and there's a lot of potential and conversation going on, even amongst my family.
Which you're part of. And I think that's something about this exhibition, right, is you're all kind of part of that conversation and speaking to things that must be spoken in order for us to advance as a society, right? So in a way you're sort of part of that. You're sort of part of a movement that is, I mean, I thought last week last week's opening was extraordinary because there was like 550 people there, and I would say 450 of them were under 35.
That's maybe awesome.
I mean, just from my own observation, maybe I'm wrong, but it seemed like a very powerful moment for me. What do you feel about like being that you might be part of, like, even that you're not here, that you might be part of some sort of change with your practice?
It's mind-blowing. Like that's why I do it. I'm really into science fiction, and I got really ill last year and just decided to completely disconnect from what was happening. And I started creating a lot of like fictitious narratives, and I was like, they don't have to be fake. They're so close, and it's happening. And last week,
yeah,
the conversations that were happening, like just hearing people talk about, you know, their own dreams and aspirations because the work was bringing it out in them. Like with Tiffany's installation, hearing people talk about being in that room. I was like, this could actually happen. This is real. This could actually happen. And it wasn't just young people either. It was young people having discussions with older people, grandkids having discussions with their grandparents. And I was like, this is dope.
I had an older gentleman come up to me, and he was like, he gave me like, I have no idea who it was. He came up to me and was like, oh, this is great. Gave me a hug. And I was like, okay. And it was really extraordinary. So we might get you back home then. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't really fit in either world. Yeah. Like, there's always something that happens in L.A. and they're like, oh, it's cultural differences.
I think we all relate to that, probably. I don't know, Melissa. I think we can talk about that more later. I think we all relate to that. Because, again, like, I've always said, you know, if I'm in the U.K., they think I'm American. If I'm in America, they think I'm English. When I'm here, everyone thinks I'm Canadian. You know, like, no one ever. It's always kind of like a guess. People are like, when people say, where are you from? I'm like, guess. You're never going to guess. Like, no one has ever in 53
question.
Years of my life guessed that I'm from the Bahamas. So I think it's kind of something we all sort of relate to. And I think part of that is maybe what we're trying to dispel with the show, with some of the work we do at the National Art Gallery, which is that, you know, this monomyth of what Bahamian is.
Mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, you deal with that in your work, Melissa, you know, and you deal, I mean, we, that's something we're all kind of struggling with, right?
Yeah.
Is that there's this kind of this sort of single identity.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us just don't fit that.
No.
And so how can we create a Bahamas where we all belong, right?
Well, not just in the Bahamas, but I think kind of globally, like, I think most people don't fit into those neat boxes of, like, you know, descending from one place as we expand and, you know, we become more global as a society. Those definitions don't fit the same anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right.
I think by maybe here, should we just fit, because it's so small, we sort of maybe, it's harder to escape to a
it feels
safe
more concentrated.
Space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you kind of turn around and, like, it's right in your face.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree. I think it's important to, like, saturate. I think it's important to saturate the whole island with people like us and our ideas so that it becomes more normalized, so that other people feel comfortable that they can also be themselves.
Well, everyone should just feel comfortable to be themselves, right?
Yeah,
And I think it's interesting for young... I mean, again, I have a 16-year-old daughter. I think that's the reason she wanted... You know, we didn't want her to go to boarding school at all. Like, we wanted her to stay at home, but I think she wanted to find a space where, again, she could figure it all out, right?
Yeah.
And it's tough when you're somewhere that's... And I think it's true everywhere, but I think here people feel particularly fishbowled.
But also, like, everyone is not from, like, their entire descendant, you know, line is not from the Bahamas necessarily. You know, and a lot of people, like, come here from different Caribbean islands, and then, like, what do you pick to define?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I was having a conversation with one of the install staff. I forget who exactly, but we're talking about having, like, my father's from Jamaica, my mom's from Trinidad, and I think he was saying his parents came from Jamaica, and, like, some of my family, you know, before that is from Barbados. It's like, which, I don't know, which island do you pick? So I think
and you grew up
the
here,
question,
so,
like, where are you from is a very, like, subversive sort of question, because it's like, why are you asking?
Yeah.
You just, like, you're asking to try to define me? I don't know. I think to some degree people ask to try to relate because, you know, there's camaraderie that develops between being from the same place.
And sometimes
place,
it's curiosity, right, too. Like, so again, and that's something we all struggle with, right? Because I think, again,
like when,
there's lots of taboos about what you can do or ask with people of different ethnicities than yourself. But sometimes, you know, really it is just curiosity.
Yeah,
yeah, like the last name thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But, you know, I was in Cat Island and a kid was trying to rub my freckles off. Like, he was didn't understand that my freckles and, you know, again, that was just curiosity. I wasn't really, like, offended that he thought I was dirty, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously it's easier for me not to be offended because... Because,
obviously,
but I think, you know, there's so it's difficult, that line of when are people trying to just engage with you and, like, really curious, you know, want to learn about you from a kind of open space, or when is it that they're trying to, again, like, box you in?
I guess, like, what really becomes more incendiary is when you ask, like, where are you really from? Like, what does that mean? What are you trying to imply by that? Particularly, like, within, from my experience, from within the States, like, you're just really trying to place somebody and, you know, assert that, like, you don't really belong here because you're not native, even though nobody in that country is native. Anyway.
Yeah.
I get the whole, you know, oh, but you've been in foreign A. Mm. Oh, but you know, you have a little accent. Mm. And I'm like, well, you got an accent too. Like, you know, like, what is Bahamian?
Well, and I think that's something else. I mean, language is really, I mean, you go to bigger countries and there are dialects, and that doesn't make you less or more, you know, like if you have a Southern accent or a Bronx accent, or in Germany, if you have Schwäbisch or you speak, you know, it's just kind of people have different accents, and that's okay. And you can still all be part of a single place.
Yeah.
I think language is another kind of box in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go to a quick break. I'm here in the studio speaking with three awesome women, Melissa Alcina, April Bay, and Tiffany Smith. We heard about April Bay's practice and her pieces in the show. What are the titles again? I can't remember.
Oh, Power Girl.
Power, yeah, exactly.
Queen.
They're awesome.
Queen.
Two Queen versus Queen. Is it a diptych? Are there two pieces that hang next to each other? So please come out and see those. There's 38 artists in the National Exhibition. And, of course, as I say every week, Sundays are free. So every single person in this fine country can come to the National Art Gallery free of charge on Sunday. The rest of the week there is a fee, but it's a we hope it's a small fee, $7 for adults, $5 for seniors and students, and always free for children under 12. But Sundays can be family day. Come after church and come and enjoy everything we have there. We're going to go to a quick break. We're going to hear more from the NE9 artists. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.